You're listening to WYLL. I'm Chris Berube. Recently, the gun debate in America has gone something like this. Gun control advocates say that we need new laws to stop the wrong people from buying guns, while Second Amendment absolutists respond that we should just enforce the laws that we already have. Very few people are talking about one of the biggest issues around guns today. It's estimated that 40% of gun sales are facilitated on the internet. With online gun sales, it's much easier to exploit loopholes that let people get around existing gun laws. Stephanie Mensimer is a reporter for Mother Jones magazine, and last month she wrote a story about a man named Dmitry Smirnov. He shouldn't have been able to buy a gun, but with the internet, he found one through a website called ArmsList, and then he brought it to Illinois. The reason that Smirnov wanted a gun is because he'd been dating a woman online named Jetka Vessel. He lived on the West Coast, and she lived in Oak Park, Illinois. And after she ended the relationship, he did something very extreme.
After that, he basically stalked her from afar, and he lived in Vancouver, Canada. And after a couple of years of this going on, she'd gotten a protective order against him or had some sort of stay-away order because of the harassment. He went online to this website called ArmsList, where you can basically arrange to meet a private seller of a weapon. It's a way of getting around a background check. So you just find somebody who's got a gun, and they can sell it to you in person for cash, and there's no record of the transaction, really. It's illegal to sell a gun to somebody who you know couldn't pass a background check. There's lots of different rules about this, but they're very difficult to enforce when these things are arranged through the internet. And that's basically what ArmsList does. This guy, he was a Russian guy from Canada, went to Washington State, where he arranged to meet up with someone who sold him a handgun. And the guy who sold him the handgun actually was kind of freaked out about the whole transaction enough that he wouldn't sell him any ammunition. So he sold him the gun, but not the ammunition. And so that guy, the murderer, went on to find a homeless person who would go to a gun store to buy the ammunition for the gun. He traveled to Illinois, and he put a GPS device on the car of the woman he was stalking, and he followed her around for a couple of days. She was volunteering for a Czech History Museum. She was coming out of the building, and he shot her like 12 times. He later turned himself in and admitted the whole thing, and he's been put in prison for life. And the guy who sold him the gun has also been prosecuted as well. But a couple months ago, actually it was in December, right before the Newtown shooting, our Brady Campaign Against Gun Violence sued ArmsList on behalf of the woman's family, saying that they had bore some responsibility for what happened to her for making this gun available to the guy. And so that case is currently pending.
So ArmsList, when you describe it out loud as something that kind of facilitates these sales that are allowed without background checks, I mean, it sounds illegal on the face of it. How is it allowed to legally operate?
Well, it's not illegal in a lot of states to sell a gun to your neighbor without a background check. And so that's what this site does. They're just like classified ads almost. You can only buy weapons from people within your own state. So if you're looking for a gun, like, and you lived in Virginia, you would go to the Virginia part of the site and you would find a seller in Virginia who could make that transaction. There's nothing illegal about that. I mean, it is illegal to sell a gun to some, even in a private sale, to sell a gun to somebody you know couldn't pass a background check. There was an investigation in New York City 2 years ago, I think, that Mayor Bloomberg put in motion where they did some sting operations and they used ArmsList and some other sites to try to buy guns. And the investigators contacted sellers of guns and made it very clear to them that they couldn't pass a background check. And more than 50% of those people still sold the guns. You know, it's not a very strong mechanism for keeping guns out of the wrong hands.
So talking about how this all went down, I mean, there's been a lot of discussion about enforcing mandatory background checks and closing a lot of loopholes. I mean, does something like ArmsList exist because of loopholes in the background check law?
Oh, sure. There are some states that do require a background check for all sales. And this is something that the Senate legislation that just passed out of the Judiciary Committee last week would make mandatory for the rest of the country. This bill, if it passed Congress, would put ArmsList out of business, I think, or it would at least require that people trying to arrange private sales still had to go through a licensed firearms dealer and have a background check.
So is there the sense that even if we had something like, you know, the universal background checks, that would not kind of suffocate the internet as a market for these guns?
No, it doesn't have to. But it would weed out the people like, you know, the guy from Canada who killed that poor woman in Illinois. He would have not been able to buy a gun from a licensed firearms dealer because he was not an American citizen. So, you know, even though he didn't have a criminal record, I don't actually know if they could have determined that from a background check, but just the fact that he didn't live here would have prevented him from buying a gun if he'd had to go through a background check.
That's Stephanie Mensimer, a reporter with Mother Jones Magazine. To see a link to her article and more stories about guns in America, visit us online at will.illinois.edu.